You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Welcome to another episode of Between Two Podcast. You're here with your host, Alan, and I'm here with two guests, Julian Herm. Also, I'm here with Braden Martineni. How are y'all doing today?
I would like to thank you, Anal Checkered Board, for having us today.
Hello. And we just summed up the plot, we just summed up the entire movie with that opening.
Yeah, that was better than I was going to say. I was just going to be like, hey, do you guys remember the 21st of September? Because that's today.
Wait to date this podcast.
You're welcome. Dated. Mark the calendar.
Literally. Oh, Lord. Well, if you didn't catch the bit, we are reviewing the new Netflix movie, Between Two Ferns. And for people who don't know what it is, Zach and Alex had this web series going for, it seems like almost 10 years, on Funny or Die, which basically he would just do these interviews and they'd be very dry, stale, and awkward. And that was the bit he was going for, where he'd almost insult the celebrities as a way to kind of counter how...
Almost.
Well, he would insult the celebrities a lot as a way to counter how normal late night talk shows are. Like, oh, let's build up the celebrity. But he's kind of like, not so much breaking them down, but he's basically just fucking with them for like...
It's very much in the vein of someone like Eric Andre, how they do their interview show. They just see how much shit the celebrity can take. And now they decided to make a movie where the ultimatum is given to them by Will Ferrell, who does a lot of cocaine, apparently, in this movie. And he says, look, you got 10 days to get 10 interviews or whatever. And so begins the trip of a lifetime.
Yes. But like I said, I am not here alone doing this review. I'm going to throw it to you guys. So, Julian, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Julian Hemendinger. I like to watch movies and sometimes I go outside.
Also, hello, here with Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley Martin. I go outside sometimes, but also I like to watch the movies.
Whoa.
We're practically like the same person, except I'm
no,
not popular.
I just said that. Whoa.
I don't have the wit or charm, but well, thanks for having me.
Okay, well, Julian, I'll throw it to you. I guess, what are your first thoughts of the movie?
Well, at first, I was really skeptical when I looked at it and it said mockumentary because that's something that can go either way, because that's like a fancy way of saying we made a cheap movie. But I like cheap movies, and like almost immediately after turning this on, I was laughing. Like immediately. Like as soon as the movie starts and Matthew McConaughey is saying, why is there water dripping in here? It's not even raining outside.
You've got a major leak.
Just like the build on that joke, I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, that was a really, really great cold open and cool way to start the movie. It's obviously scripted the entire time. It's actually, I believe it's written and directed by the creator of Comedy Bang Bang, Scott Aukerman, a.k.a. Stop Taco Man.
That is correct. I read the credits, and his name came up as director and writer.
Yeah, because I think he's been working on this show forever. So it's like, hey, now you get a bigger budget and more time.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's pretty much, like, that's pretty much a setup. Don't need to go that much into plot. I mean, it's filled with cliches. The story is nothing special, but the thing that makes this really worth watching is that they throw a lot of really good jokes at you. Not all of them hit as hard, but some of them had me laughing really hard out loud. Like, I was exhausted watching this, and I was still able to find the energy to laugh really hard at it. And I didn't fall asleep watching it. That's another big plus.
What about you, Bradley? What do you think?
Well, like I was saying on the Breakfast Pub, I was telling you guys, no way this is going to succeed. Bits like this, they're made to last 3 minutes, and then we all move on and chuckle about this later with our friends. An hour and a half movie? Nah, that can't work. So now I'm here to say I was completely wrong. I, too, was laughing my ass off the whole way through this. I was even laughing outside of the celebrity segments where it's just him and his crew having this big dream to go network with their new 10 episodes. And I thought Will Ferrell was the funniest he's been in years. And I get that's kind of silly to say since Will Ferrell will take any job, as they point out, even if it's not funny. I really enjoyed the chemistry between him and his crew and the little hero's journey they set up, which of course is full of cliches. I think this is a great mockumentary and everybody should see it.
And I guess this is why I got to come in as the voice of dissent. Because I do agree with Julian.
I do agree with Julian.
I think the Matthew McConaughey bit was great. And I think the best part of this movie are the interviews with the celebrities. My issue comes in with them having to put the in-between stuff to make this work, where I feel like this is just a low-grade version of The Office, it turns out to be. And it ends up being where almost none of the stuff with the extras they get, the people that's part of his crew, none of it work. Because they're trying to make Zach Galifianakis as this weird man-child, but none of the jokes work. Where it's like, oh, I got to draw out every
weird
single thing.
Weird man-child is his bread and butter, though, isn't it? Well, that's his whole big career.
And to be fair... I wouldn't say the term is an extra. It's just the actors they hired. Man.
Apologies.
Like,
yeah.
Those are characters.
The characters, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing characters.
The characters and the staff that he worked with as part of his crew, I felt like none of the jokes they were going for, even the guy that's like, man, fuck you. I was like, maybe I chuckled a couple times.
The joke of the sound lady, like, saying that the best part of her day, shout out to Giovanni. When she's telling the best part of her day is to turn down celebrities, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
And that was something that they ran really well.
I mean, again,
like she killed that material.
That was okay. That was probably better than some of the other ones. But the one with the glasses, I forget her name in the movie. But again,
I think her character's name was Carol
or something like that.
She was kind of a straight man.
Yeah. A little bit until they tried to make her make jokes. But my issue is like, yeah, anything that's in between. It just, to me, I felt like it didn't stick. It was trying so hard because, like, the whole point of the show, at least the bits are for the web series, is like, hey, we're trying to be awkward and we're trying to be weird and uncomfortable. So they try to progress that into the world they created, but it never, for me, it never really sticks. There's some moments that stick, other times they don't. But then they'll go to a celebrity and they'll do the interview. It's like, yeah, we're talking about it prior to the recording. Chance the Rapper, that's a great interview. It's like, he looks like he's about to fight him. Hailee Steinfeld interview, yeah, fucking hilarious. Funny. I even like the fucking one with Brie Larson. That one I wish was longer just because I wanted to see more of that go down. The interviews, like, yeah, the main draw of the show is still there. It's just, and when it goes in between, I'm just like, okay, move on. I want to see the next interview.
But, yeah, but one thing you're not saying is that it's not like, you know, the movie is really drawn out. This is an 80-minute movie, like, yeah. On the dot. Like, it's 82 minutes. Like, this shit went by in, like, a flash, dude. When I was watching this, I was like, man, like, it definitely does slow down, like, halfway through. I'll say I wasn't laughing as much. But it's over before you know it, and I... like stop, like when I quote unquote walked out, I didn't walk out. Yeah. I just closed my computer and went to bed. But when I quote unquote walked out, I had a smile on my face. Like this brought me joy, and I will recommend this to people.
That's the thing. Like for me, even though it was an hour, it was 80 minutes on the dot, I still found myself going, man, I wish, again, I just, I'm not saying I wish the movie was shorter. I just wish the in between the interviews was better because they just go through so many weird, it's almost like they just like, it felt like they were ad-libbing when they weren't in an interview. Like, let's just keep saying stuff and just hope it's funny enough for us to justify this being a movie. Like, this could have easily just been a 30-minute, like, hey, we're just doing a bunch of interviews side to side. Don't worry about the in-between stuff, because none of it to me was interesting, except for maybe, like, a few times I tried.
I really like the hero's journey that Zach and, would you say his name was Ackerman, wrote into the through line between the sketches, I thought was great. And if that failed, you're right. If that failed, I would have thought it was a boring movie too. But I loved it.
And there was a lot of visual stuff in those scenes that they'd set up. Like the fact that his whole crew was forced to sit in the back seat of his tiny car, those three people, just so those fucking ferns could be in the front seat of his car. That visual alone, every time they showed that would make me smile because it's so fucking stupid.
It is.
And there was a lot of really good moments, like where he's trying to pull the wool over their eyes, like, yeah, well, don't worry about it, we got money. Like the part where they're at a restaurant and they're all, you know, ordering, and he's like, oh, get whatever you want. And then, you know, like, they show the other side of that. But the first time when he says, get whatever you want, he's like, do you guys have sushi? And the guy's like, I can put fish sticks on some rice. It's like, that's great. I'll have that. Like, that's fucking dumb, dude. Like,
yeah, that was hilarious. I never found that funny because I'm looking at this going, and then later on, I'm like, oh, I bet they're going to run out of money because this is a pretty cliche in between. And then they do. I'm like, this is, I mean, it does lead to, like, all that BS, like, as boring as it was, leads to a funny bit when they're doing an interview, which I did actually find kind of funny. But again, I just felt like in the moment, I'm just kind of almost looking at the ceiling going, man, I wish they would move on, because this is just
dragging. You should have been looking at the screen. Don't look at the ceiling. That's not where the movie is.
Shit, might as well have been. Yeah, but it's like,
but
again,
didn't you think that, like, I know you're saying you like the interviews. Didn't you think some of the celebrities being there at all was kind of inconsequential, since the awkward questions are the joke, and it really doesn't matter what celebrity he's asking them to?
It does, because even though the questions being awkward have their own, I want to say, their own flow to them. But seeing the different celebrities, it's just like, I'm curious to see what their reactions would be. That's why I wanted the Brie Larson interview to last longer. Because I'm like, I'm curious what you're going to do with her character. Are you going to go with how she is in the media? Or are you going to do something else? I'm like, they kind of dropped the ball a little bit with her. But they made up with other people.
They didn't really do anything with her. He could have been asking those questions to any of the Marvel ladies.
You could have, but
don't
then.
Think?
Well, the thing is, all the questions were specific, and one of the reasons why I appreciated the little breaks in between is when they get to the interview, that's like a machine gun of jokes. That's like Zucker brother like idea. It's like, open up your fucking ears, because bam, 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 we're gonna throw like 17 things at you, and if you don't pay attention, you might miss one.
Yeah,
because like he's just rolling. Like, he's just going, going, going. And the actors, I mean, the whole thing is scripted, and the actors are in on it in this case. And they're really selling it. Like, the standout for me was Benedict Cumberbatch, I thought was fantastic.
He was my favorite.
He was definitely
my favorite. Brie Larson
had a really good sense of humor. And Bruce Willis showing up for his little moment was a nice cherry on the pie, if you will.
Yeah.
I liked John Hamm and Paul Rudd a lot, too.
Oh yeah.
Paul Rudd has worked a lot with people like with Tim and Eric, you know, super awesome show and stuff like that. So he is a master of, like, you know, like the dumb, like, self-aware, like, weirdo humor. See.
Yeah, he seemed like he was a part of the show for years, the way he carried himself with it. So I really enjoyed his performance.
Yeah. My favorite is probably Haley Steinfeld and Chance the Rapper. And probably Matthew McConaughey, but you saw a lot of that in the trailer. But yeah, definitely, like, Haley Steinfeld's reaction is like, question two, she's like, are we done yet? Like, she's just about to fucking book it. I'm like, this is fucking great.
Tired of it.
Like, I don't want to deal with this shit. Why did I accept this interview?
Now, what'd you guys think of the message that we're all idiots that just want to clap like seals at celebrities? Do you think that was kind of out of place? Because the movie seemed way too silly to have a big point.
But it fit with that, where he thinks he's highbrow. Where he thinks he's... Because at one point, it's like, we're just trying to change the world. Are you? Or are you just making a bitch show so that you have some, like, bills to pay? Like, it just felt like he thinks he's so highly of himself that he's like, I want a lifetime nighttime talk show. It's like, he just thinks he's the shit. And it's like, don't take that as a message the movie's trying to get to you. It's just, this is what he thinks is deep.
Okay. I really liked him as a character. What did you guys think, though, of the John Legend moment? Do you think that was too far, or do you
a
think
little
that was
bit,
great?
But I liked it.
I liked
See,
it.
See, that whole scene and an interview, that's a good example of, like, the movie really working, I think. Like, okay. That's where things, like, it actually kind of, like, combined both moments and really worked for
it. That was one of the few times where the in-between stuff worked out, the in-between stuff led into the interview bits. Where I'm like, okay, that's why I like the whole thing from the bar to the interview. I'm like, okay, that was cohesive. I wish the movie did more of that. And I felt like it maybe only did it once or twice after that. So it's like, that's my biggest problem, is the in-between stuff. But I think we've gone through this a lot, and I think we've torn through as much as we can without giving specific bits away. So I think we'll can go into final thoughts. So Bradley, I'll let you start off with final thoughts.
All right. Well, I've always thought that Zach Galifianakis is a comedic genius since I saw his stand-up probably 10 years ago. Like, he gives
this Purple Onion special.
It's the one where he's accompanying himself on the piano with his jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant, if you guys can get out and see that. He gives this joke.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
that I still laugh about his last name and what he wishes his last name was. Like, I've been a fan since that moment. And I think he's getting back to his roots, which is a pretentious thing to say. But I like this thinking, smart comedy that Zach puts out, that it's kind of, you know, it's not offensive, but it is offensive, but not shock-wise. I really like the questions he asks, even if the celebrities are in on it. Like one that he asked to John Legend, you can see genuine, like, oh my gosh. And John Legend's response to this horrible, inappropriate, invasive question that he gives him. Really enjoyed the other characters as well. I like the through line. I'm a sucker for a hero's journey, especially if I want the main characters to succeed. So I'm going to give this 8 incredibly awkward interviews in 10 episodes of Between Two Ferns.
Nice. Okay, Julian, final thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that there were moments that I laughed way harder than I was expecting to watching this. And one more moment I want to throw in there, a real standout in their interviews. I thought David Letterman sold it probably the best out of everyone. Like, I thought all the interviews were good, but his reaction was just fucking amazing. I don't think this movie's perfect. I mean, it's super cliched, but as a vehicle for a comedy, it's pretty great. And there's no reason why I don't think anyone should not check this out. So I'm right there with you, Bradley. I give this like 8 out of 10 times that someone Zach Galifianakis was interviewing wanted to leave.
Oh, alrighty then. I've watched a lot of the bits, so I was already. I guess half-heartedly liked it because some worked, some didn't. But I was worried about this because I'm like, I don't think you can make this work as a movie. And I still stand by at the end of it. I don't think this worked as a movie. If those interviews were just 10 episodes of Between Two Ferns on YouTube or wherever, I think I would have enjoyed them. But then being strung together in this movie, it just felt like it felt pointless. It felt unnecessary that I don't think this movie needed to exist. But I still enjoyed myself, so as much as there are parts I didn't like, there are still parts I do like. So I probably am in agreement with you guys of, yeah, go ahead and watch it. I mean, it's a short watch. And honestly, if you just hate the stuff so much, it's like, yeah, they might end up on YouTube eventually. But honestly, just check it out. It's really a short amount of time and the interviews are pretty good. So you won't feel completely wasted, but you might agree with me. We're like, yeah, some of that shit was pointless. So I'll probably give it the lowest ratings. I'll give it 6 out of 10. Fern ran the fuck over by a car.
Now, there is, for any parents out there listening, there is so many dad jokes we are going to repeat for the rest of our lives in this skit.
Sure.
Especially that diner scene you mentioned earlier, Julian. There's like 10 dad jokes I am going to personally use at diners for the rest of my life because of this comedy. So I really enjoyed it a lot. But yeah, 8 out of 10.
Are you going to order fish stick sushi at a diner?
Or clam strips, whichever.
The fuck's a clam strip? Still don't know. Oh, you know what a clam strip is?
What?
Have you seen a chicken strip?
No.
Well, I'm not going to spoil the joke, Brad, but
clams, when they like rip them open, like, you know, with their testicle ball thing, and like, you know, they got like their lip and their tongue in there. They just rip the whole thing out and they deep fry it, and it forms into a semi strip.
That sounds horrifyingly disgusting.
Clam strips, really chicken good. Strips. You can fry anything, Alan.
I know that. Oh, God. No, fuck that shit. I enjoy my life too much to eat deep fried Twinkies.
Dude, I would have eaten David Letterman's beard deep fried.
Epic beard.